Don't forget, we're also on YouTube. You can find us by searching for Bitchy Witchies. That's BITCHYWITCHYS. So don't forget the witchies part. And if you search for us on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. Check the description. All of our links will be available in our description for you to access easily.
Look.
I live. Can you please fuck off for the love of everything that I understand? Oh my god, it's chasing me. I'm so done. I am going to jump off a fucking bridge. A fucking whole ass, like, gargantuan mammoth bee just tried to eat me.
How do you manage to get chased by a bee every single time you talk to us?
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
So you'll have to excuse us because Miss Mountain Gypsy is not me. I know on the video it says that I'm Gypsy Mountain, but ignore that because I'm Bella Luna. Mountain Gypsy hopefully will be able to join us in a little bit, but if not, then I guess I'm playing the role of Mountain Gypsy today. And we also have with us Miss Black Moon Coven. Hello.
Hey, guys.
And then we also have Miss Liz.
Hey.
So today, what are we talking about today, Hestia?
Necromancy.
So we're going to talk about necromancy. And the reason why we have two guests today is because we have a couple of different perspectives. And one, if you've been watching any of Black Moon Coven's videos, you know that she's done a lot of work around necromancy, and so we thought that she would give some wonderful perspective on that. And Miss Liz is straight out of the movies. She's dead people. Actually, she doesn't see it. She talks to them.
Just throw me right on out there.
Sorry.
It's all good. I'm coming out of the closet. It's totally fine. This is a year of, like, everything that's coming out, so it's great.
So, Ms. BMC, do you want to kind of just give a little bit of rundown on what necromancy is and a little bit about your practice in regards to that?
Well, necromancy, in a modern witch's perspective, it's divination using spirits. However, I include necromancy in, like, spirit work, ancestral work, anything that is working with spirits. That's what I kind of label under necromancy, because the definition has changed, you know, over the course of time.
Right.
But my personal practice with necromancy, I'm a big animist, so I believe in a lot of different spirits. So I utilize plant spirits, animal spirits, but I do a lot of ancestral work and general house spirit working, caring with spirits, that sort of thing.
Excellent. Yeah, I actually view it very similarly as well. And as you mentioned in one of your videos or one of your blogs, or maybe both, necromancy is not what the movies portray it to be. We are all not raising the dead.
Yeah, definitely not. There's a lot of misconceptions. Like, we're raising spirit, we're calling on spirit, but we're not actually going to the graveyard. Well, not anymore. You know, not anymore. We don't go to the graveyards and wreak havoc on graves and certain things to perform our necromancy. We call on the dead. We work with spirit. We don't raise or disturb spirits. A lot of people have this misconception that it's a disruptive or disrespectful practice because you are calling on spirit. But however, I think it's a more of an honoring and working with spiritual energy.
I agree. And I think a lot of us who work with spirit, not everybody, but you know, we don't do it in a way that we are calling them forth, forcing them to do our bidding, you know, or forcing them to work with us. If they do not want to, they certainly have that choice.
Yeah, that's pretty common in not even a lot of ceremonial magic anymore. That's a really old school philosophy. You'll see it in a lot of old school grimoires, you know, to bind the spirit, to trap it in, to do that. But you know, as the old saying goes, you catch a lot more flies with honey. So just be nice and work and do offerings and you will develop a bond and relationship with spirit. And that'll be a lot more helpful than trying to force your will upon someone.
Exactly. You know, I'm even the same way with ancestors as well. You know, I basically say, if you are willing to help me, please do. But if you don't, you know, that's okay.
That sometimes, I mean, spirits have their own agenda. You can't force them to do anything. I mean, they got their own stuff going on, and sometimes they're just not able to help. So it is what it is. And I think that sometimes people, especially witches, rely on spirit for a lot of things when in reality, you can't call on them for everything.
So what would you say to somebody who is an atheist, who doesn't work with deity, do you think that that causes any kind of discrepancies in belief working with spirits?
I think so. I think that there has to be a belief there that spirits are real. I think that unless you have experienced or have like a true spiritual experience that you cannot explain, you'll never know the feeling of like having a spirit there. I think that a belief has to be there for you to actually go forth with the practice.
See, I'm the complete and utter opposite.
Yeah, same. I'm the opposite too.
I never used to believe in spirits, not one single time in my life. So I never believed in mediums, none of that shit. And then all of a sudden, like out of the blue, all of a sudden I'm just like, hey, spirits, what's up, dude? Like left and right. It's the most insane phenomena I've ever experienced in my life. And I was always a skeptic. So like everybody on the TV, I guess the Long Island medium, is that the right lady? Skeptic. Everybody who's a medium, I thought was a skeptic. Anybody who was a spirit worker, I thought was a skeptic. Like I was a skeptic, whatever. But then all of a sudden it's just like, how you doing?
What are your thoughts on it, Hestia?
I think because I pretty much look at everything as just some form of energy, I don't have to put a belief to it because you know energy exists. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the easiest way for me to explain that.
But, you know, I'll play devil's advocate here. In some ways, you can kind of interpret that as a belief. You just believe that the source perhaps maybe is different or more explainable or more scientific, but if you believe that they are a source of energy, that it's happening, then, you know, in some ways to me that is a type of belief.
I mean, if that's what you want to believe, do you enjoy that?
I'm actually enjoying it quite a bit. BNC, you want to maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, how you work with spirits and the things that you do?
It's, you know, it's just such a big part of my practice. In the morning, I make offerings to my ancestors, or when I'm doing some type of spell work or anything else just to connect with my ancestry. I'll do offerings. I have a spiritual altar where they come and they're welcome there. When I'm out in nature, I bring a lot of offerings. I like to sit down and meditate with, you know, the genius Loki or the essential spirits of the place. At home, I recently started to develop like a house spirit type of practice where every culture has like a different house spirit, you know. So the Slavic people have the domovoi, and in that, it's a spirit that resides in your home and is in charge of various things in the home. So I leave offerings, I have a little altar there, and basically my spiritual practice is a lot of just honoring spirit, doing a lot of offerings, and just trying to build that bond and connection with spirit so they could help me and aid me in both my work, my housework, anything like that.
Do you consider your workings, especially with ancestors, do you consider them more like an ancestor veneration, like a worship, or more just a respect?
See, my ancestors, I don't think they like witchcraft all that much. So it's more of a, and that's kind of sad, I know, but it's more of like a, you know, I honor you, I respect you because you're my bloodline. You kind of gave me, like, a lot of the folk things that I learned were from my ancestors. And a lot of the folk things that I do in my practice that I incorporate in my witchcraft were taught to me by my grandparents and everything else like that. So I kind of give respect to that family and ancestry kind of bloodline because that's, you know, who I am today. But as far as them like helping me out with spell work and things like that, I don't think that's really going to happen unless it's, you know, something like that. So I call on, you know, Baba Yaga for anything of that nature. But I think it's just more honoring in the sense of a bloodline and giving that respect to the family and the elders that came before me.
You know, I would like to do more. I tend to be more of a technical person, not very touchy-feely, and I probably need to get past that a little bit. You know, I feel like I do have, you know, obviously respect. I do give offerings and such, but I do predominantly work, I do spirit work when it comes to magical practice, actual like spell casting and stuff. So, wow, I'm having like this mini epiphany right now that I'm like super selfish. I probably should look a little bit more past that because I am very appreciative, you know, of the help that they give. I do feel like they help. I feel like they protect me. You know, they offer me kind of the extra oomph, so to speak, and the extra protection that I don't think that I would be able to accomplish on my own, not because I don't feel like I can, but simply because, you know, they have some of the insights and the abilities that maybe I'm not having at the moment.
I also think that ancestral work, like your ancestors, are going to be a lot more personal with you than a deity that is, you know, being worshipped and being worked with like a whole bunch of other people. Ancestral work is a lot more personal and it deals with, you know, your bloodline and your family and things like that. So I feel like they do protect you, they guide you. It's more of like a mentorship type of thing.
See, it's weird because, well, maybe it's not really weird, but you know, the way that I view deity is, you know, clearly, obviously I've talked about this enough, you know, there is no worship involved there. But I actually view deity as just a different type of spirit guide. I do see them as, you know, a mentor or whatnot. But I do feel like it's a very personal relationship. I do get it, you know, that that a lot of people are calling out to them for all kinds of different purposes. But, you know, I guess because of the way that I view them, because I view them, like I said, more like spirit guides, I do feel like there's a very personal relationship there with that. So when I do call out to them, when I do ask for their assistance or their guidance, you know, I don't feel like I'm actually talking to a deity. I feel like I'm just talking to one of my spirit guides.
Yeah, I get that. That's kind of how I view Baba Yaga. You know, she's like, to me, she's almost, she reminds me of like my grandmother. So that's kind of what I view that as. She's like this grandmother crone figure. And even when I call on her, I don't use Baba Yaga. I use Babcha, which is grandma in Polish. So it's a really personal relationship that you develop as well. I just think that ancestral work is a lot, I guess, a little bit more personal, but, you know, everyone does it differently. And, you know, necromancy is like a whole bunch of different things. And I just think that that's pretty cool how everyone does everything so different. And then yet we still kind of have the same ideas there.
That's actually really cool that you know, you said that about the grandmother thing, because when it comes to the Morrigan, I actually refer to her as mother. And I know, you know, several people do, but we were having a discussion, I think in Southern Conjure, we were having a discussion I was having some questions about ancestors, working with ancestors, because I was doing some spell work last week, and it was very clear to me that ancestors were there. And my first thought that came to my mind was, mother is here. But then immediately right after that, I was like, is this my mother, or is this the Morrigan? Because I equally view them as mother. So I was just like, I hope you're both here. So Miss Liz, you want to tell us a little bit about your experiences and how all of this came about? Because I know, like you said, this is relatively new for you.
It is, honestly. So like I began in the beginning, I was a total skeptic, never believed in spirits, ghosts, none of that shit. It was just never on my radar, never even infiltrated my practice up until, I guess I would venture to say maybe about a year ago, give or take a couple months, I was smacked in the face with a friend's deceased mom, and I had no idea what was going on. I thought I was personally like having like a psychotic break or something. Honestly, that's what I thought it was, because if you don't believe in something, how is it going to come about, you know? So, but this woman, I had met her a couple times in my childhood, and then in my adulthood, I'd maybe said, hey, hello, how you doing, in passing a couple of times. I didn't know much about her. I didn't know much about her, like, lifestyle, any of that. She was obviously a lot older than me too. So she predeceased me, that kind of thing. So she just popped up one day in a dream, and then it continued on throughout my day. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Like, am I okay? Do I need to see a doctor? Should I call somebody? Like, what am I supposed to do? So I ended up contacting, thank God I was like close with the people. I contacted her children, and I was just like, hey, you're going to think I'm a total nut job, but I've got some random shit I want to tell you that pertains to your mom. And they're like, okay, sure. So I explained everything that had happened. And then all of a sudden this lady was in my head talking, and I knew it wasn't my own voice, because like the way I work in my own head, we all usually have that voice. Some people don't. I've recently read about that, but I digress. So I was explaining to them what was happening, and she just started talking, and I'm like, oh, hello. Like, I really am going insane. Maybe I do need to see a hospital or like somebody. But she was explaining to me things, and she's like, you got to tell him. And I'm like, okay. So she said a couple personal things. I'm not going to out them here, because I'm not sure if the family wants everything out there, but a couple personal things that only her kids would have known. And they were like shook as fuck. And I'm just like, okay, maybe I'm onto something here. But then I was regressing and saying, yeah, probably not. I'm just a nutball. So a couple experiences happened after that. And I was just kind of like, we're just going to go with the flow and see what happens. Because me being like a total skeptic, I still kind of am. I still don't believe. I know that sounds insane, because I've had issues, and not issues, but like experiences that are obviously realistic. I've said some shit to some people that resonates with them that I would have never known. So it's definitely got to be real. But why me of all people? You know, I'm just kind of, I guess, flustered would be the right word as to why I'm the chosen one, if that makes sense. As crazy as it sounds.
I wonder if your disbelief has anything to do with it.
I think it might, because I'm the kind of person who, if I don't believe in something, I can force myself to hate it, if that makes sense. So that's how I kind of deal with things. Or if I don't want something or don't like something, I'll force myself to hate it. I don't know. It's like a whole thing for a therapist. Yeah.
I'm the same way. If I don't like something, I will make myself hate it.
Yeah, that's exactly how I am. And it makes me wonder if I've done that, like, in my childhood, because I wasn't necessarily like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a sheltered kid. But I was more like, nothing like that could ever happen. It wasn't even in a realm of possibility. Like, my parents didn't believe in it. My dad was a hardcore atheist. Like, don't bring no Jesus, nothing up in my house. And then my mom was kind of just like, whatever the fuck happens, happens. Like, it is what it is. She was, I think, brought up as a Lutheran, but she never really had any kind of like dealings in religion and what have you. So I was just over here like, what the fuck's happening to me? Even as an adult, I'm still like, what the fuck is going on?
I wonder though if, you know, the fact that you had such a hardcore non-belief that, you know, maybe spirits present themselves to you now, because if they can make you a believer, so to speak, that it makes their message that much more stronger.
I've toyed with that idea quite a lot, but my only like real question, if only I can get an answer, we'll see. But why all of a sudden? Because usually from what I've read, listened to, heard, what have you, spirit presents themselves at a turning point in your life. That's when you start learning either how to communicate with them or they kind of just pop up or what have you. But nothing that I can recall within a year ago was a turning point in my life. So why all of a sudden now as an adult am I seeing these things when you always hear about like children are more predisposed to it and animals, things like that. So why didn't the shit hit me as like a kid who didn't have any idea what the fuck was going on, you know, like probably like 4 or 5, 6, somebody who doesn't know religion. So that's always something I've asked like everybody that I know, because I'm looking for not necessarily a mentor, but somebody who also can communicate the way I can.
Right.
Because I'm completely mind boggled. I'm like, I need to learn how to shut this shit down. Like, because they obviously pop up occasionally when you don't want them to. You'll be like trying to go to sleep and all of a sudden it's just like, hey, how you doing? My name's so-and-so. I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Did you become, like, I need to go to bed. Become like more open at that time or like more?
Not to my knowledge. Maybe I did get
like,
a message.
Have you made any like major headway like in your past or had anything changed?
Nothing specifically changed. I would say maybe almost a year ago, I started working with deities, and that was a new thing because I had like this whole fucking once upon a corn cob sign of a deity, which smacked me in the face because I was never a believer either. So maybe that, but that's all I can honestly think of. It's just so, I guess, otherworldly is the only term I can think of, because I mean, honestly, that hits the nail on the head. But it's just like, of all fucking people, you want me, my weird ass, you want me to just hit random people and be like, yo, so-and-so who's deceased wanted me to tell you this. People are going to look at me like I'm crazy. I mean, they already have. None of my ancestors or any of my relations or relations to me pop up ever. It's the strangest thing.
Have you tried, you know, like what BMC does? Have you tried or have done any work with your ancestors or tried
to? I actually work alongside them for the most part. A lot of them were very, as she said, anti-witchcraft, or they were basically hardcore Catholicism followers or Christianity followers. So I don't think they particularly care for what I do. But at the same time, it's like, the way I look at my ancestors aren't exactly traditional. So most people look at their ancestors as though, hey, this is my actual family. I don't look at it that way. I had a really weird disconnect with my actual family when I was growing up and things like that. So it doesn't surprise me. They don't want to work with me. It is what it is. But I work with other people's ancestors. And I know that sounds like completely insane because it's pretty frowned upon throughout the communities that I've seen. But for me, it's kind of like if these people have visited me spiritually and they want to work with me and form a relationship, I'm totally fine with that.
But, you know, when we talk about ancestors, especially right now as we're talking about it, you know, I'm getting the impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're referring a lot to our immediate family that's maybe passed. But do we know for a fact that our full ancestral line has always been against it? You know, perhaps not. You know, maybe there are people within our bloodline from generations past that we've never known personally that are with us.
I have a theory on that. I think that in order for us to have discovered the craft in such like a natural way, to be brought here to this point, I think that some ancestral force or some people before us obviously knew some types of magic. And I just, for me speaking from personal experience, it was a very natural transition. It's almost like I knew a lot of the things beforehand, mm-hmm. even before studying the craft. And I felt like even like doing ancestral work, I know that my immediate ancestry, my great grandparents, were totally Catholic. And I know that, you know, further on down the road, who knows, you know, there could have been a witch in there. There could have been a folk witch. There's a lot of magic in where I was actually born and brought up. So you never know. But I think that in order for us to discover the path that we did, there had to be some type of guiding force. And that's kind of what I believe in.
See, I never thought of it that way, to be honest with you. I don't know if I'm just small brained or if it's because like I'm on this whole new kick of like spirits and things like that. But it does make sense because when I discovered my path probably what, 14 years ago, probably maybe, it was almost like I already knew what I was supposed to do aside from like new things that I'm learning now. But it was like I knew what to put into certain like, I guess you can call them decoctions because I was a huge fan of like making herbal oils and all kinds of just weird things at my age I should not have been making. I'd rather stay home and put a bunch of shit into a bottle and stare at it for a couple of hours instead of hang out with friends or something. But that definitely does make sense because how the fuck would I have known that and known what to make for like, I don't know, the first thing I think I made when I was younger was like some kind of throat relief or something because I used to get throat aches all the time and sore throat. How the hell would I have known that? Because I didn't have access to a computer 24/7 either. Or books, for that matter.
For me personally, I agree with what BMC was saying, and it kind of goes into when we were talking about can anybody be, and I said no. This kind of goes to, at least for me, it kind of goes towards that. Like, if it's meant for you, it will be for you, regardless of what your mother did or what your grandmother did. If it's for you, it's for you.
I have a feeling you guys know about, and I'm going to butcher his name because I always do. That's why I'm looking down to make sure I say it right. Sancista Brujo Luis. He actually gave a little bit of his perspective on, you know, we use the term ancestor, that he says that ancestor does not refer to the people that we actually knew in person. You know, that's immediate family. That ancestor really refers to our bloodline and truly those that have come before us. That really resonated with me because I kind of split the ancestor terminology into two different groups. I split it into the people that have been my immediate family that I knew personally, and then those that actually make up the blood that's literally running through me today. And I'm a very, very strong believer in what you said, BMC, about the ancestry really driving our path even before we even realize what we're doing. And I feel in some ways that I am sort of a poster child type example of that because of the fact that I was adopted, because of what I had been drawn to my whole life, not knowing or having been exposed to any of my true ancestry until I actually got the DNA work and really, you know, practically crying when I found out, because for the longest time, I felt like an imposter of the things that I was being drawn to, because I didn't think that I had any rights to, because I didn't think that was part of my ancestry. And come to find out that it's a significant part of my ancestry. And so being adopted and not having had any real world connections to point me in that direction, to me, that just spoke volumes as to, it's clear that, you know, I was being guided either by, you know, bloodline ancestors, what have you, to the things that relate to my bloodline.
That makes a ton of sense, in all honesty, because I'm still new to, like, the whole, I wouldn't say ancestor working, but I'm new to, like, the ancestry kind of thing. So I know we were talking about it before we started recording. So I have no clue what, like, all of my ancestry is. My dad had, like, an account, but it was the old school account. So probably back in, like, I'd venture to say 2012, 2013, he did, like, the traditional, I think it's, like, the tree method where you find it out yourself, basically, but they assist you. But I'm being pulled recently towards a lot of things that I've been struggling with. I know I've communicated this to a couple of you guys where it's like, I feel as if my nose doesn't belong there, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I have this insane calling towards it where I can't, it's all I think about. I'm obsessed with it, but it's kind of like something is there that I have to discover. I have to figure out, I have to learn, but I don't understand why. And I definitely don't think it's in my lineage and history. So that's where I'm kind of confused, like, what's going on here?
I remember when I was a young girl, tween, early teens, I remember I was way more emotional back then. And I remember having a cry fest because I loved the Celtic and Nordic cultures, and I loved everything about, just everything about that. And I actually was trying to look for somebody to teach me how to speak Gaelic. And I remember just sitting there crying like a little child, because I was, in my room, thinking, like, you're so rude. Why are you doing this? Because you have nothing to do with this. You're being so disrespectful. How do you look at those types of things and those types of emotions that you feel so strongly about and not believe that there's, you know, something working there way above you?
That's basically where I'm at, honestly, because, like, I'm going to do more ancestry, kind of like digging, if that makes sense. But obviously I cannot afford the whole DNA kit right now. That is not within my budget. But I've got to find out. There's got to be something there. There's no reason I wouldn't have a calling to what I have a calling for.
So I recently got mine and I sent it in. So I'm waiting for the results. And it's kind of funny because I told my mom and she said, you're 100% Polish. You don't have to look into anything. And I'm like, well, how do you know how do you know? And so I'm super excited to look into it. But another thing that I was thinking about while you guys were talking is that doing ancestral work, you have to really look at different connections. Like, for example, I have been drawing different sigils and symbols that just kind of come forward. And then I discovered that a lot of the symbols I've been drawing is really similar to symbology used in, like, Polish Highlander folk magic. And I never, ever knew that. And I think that it just, you have to look through different little connections that you've been doing your whole practice, because it's within you. A lot of ancestral working like that, it is within you. And a lot of, it's just ancestral guidance and stuff that you learned along the way from, you know, your parents and whatnot. But,
well, the reality is that there's literally thousands of years that precede us. And so, you know, being, you could be 100% Polish, so to speak, in that you have generations upon generations that have come from Poland, but they didn't all start in Poland.
Yeah, you know? Definitely not.
And I think that, you know, those, and some of those are, go back millennia, and where they traveled from, and the practices and the mentalities and the cultures that came from where they came from were inevitably brought with them and incorporated into where they eventually settled. And I think that those are significant. Those are really, really significant.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I thought would be really interesting, to have both of you on this episode, was because, like I said, from your perspective, BNC, it's about, you know, the working with them. And Liz, from your perspective, it's talking with them. And I've noticed, especially in the newer practitioners You know, their mindset is automatically assuming or thinking that working with spirits, that there's going to be some sort of physical interaction and some physical exchange. And clearly, as you can see from Liz's perspective, that's happening. But what do you say to that? Because to me, that doesn't always have to translate into like what Liz is experiencing.
I say that Liz has a very, very special gift. Not a lot of people have the gift to actually talk to spirits or even see spirits. Spirits really communicate in really subtle, subtle little hints and messages, and sometimes even a noise or a whisper. It's very difficult for the average person to pick up on that. People are more open to spirit. Of course, there's going to be witches that are way more, not better at it. They just have a certain skill, you know. Like sometimes I'll sit with my spirit board for hours and hours and hours at a time. Nothing will happen. But other times I'll get, you know, my name yelled at me or a knock at the door or something crazy that I can't explain. And I think that you just have to be very, very, really attentive and really observant to different signs. But a lot of the times, yeah, it's not going to be very Hollywood-ish. You know, you're not going to see apparitions or any type of spirit like that. It's very, very subtle. And I think that a lot of newcomers into the craft, especially necromancy, think that I'm going to be conjuring spirits and demons and everything else like that, when it's really not like that. You could call a spirit into the place and you might not even feel it there for the longest time. I mean, spirits to come into our world, it takes a lot of different energy and a lot of exchanges and a lot of different things. And that's like a whole different thing. But yeah, I think there's a lot of misconceptions as far as, you know, how spirit appears to us and how they communicate and how they talk to us.
I agree. I think that what a lot of people, I don't want to say forget, but maybe don't pay attention to it or ignore, is, and one of you guys or a couple of you guys mentioned this, you know, when the voice is inside our head, that I think what a lot of people don't realize is that it don't automatically assume that it's always our own, it's always us. You know, sometimes, I believe this is my personal belief, I believe that for the average person, unlike Liz, that when we are communicated to, it comes through our own thoughts. It comes through our own thoughts that have come completely from left field, out of the blue. It's nothing that we have, you know, by any logical explanation, how did this come to me? And to me, those are what I believe are coming from either my ancestors or my spirit guides, that is the way that they are communicating to me, is through my thoughts.
I agree 100%, because that's how I work with my, I guess, ancestors, deities, spirit guides, what have you. Is usually it's a thought that comes completely out of left field, or I call it left brain because I'm a right brain person. But it'll just be some sideways shit that I'm not even worried about thinking about, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you should get up and do this, or I need this, or something insane. And people think I'm crazy for saying it, but people who experience it obviously know. But that's honestly how I work. It's so much easier that way, because people, I think, are expecting, like you had said, like Hollywood shit. So like some kind of apparition to come out of your floor and be like, hey, what's up, dude? Like, it doesn't work like that, unfortunately. There are some people out there, the rarities, that do see spirits and things like that. I'm not one of them, so I can't really attest to what happens and things like that. But I'm the crazy person that hears them. If that counts for anything.
So actually, so describe that a little bit more for us, because, you know, it's clear, and I have to say that I've had my own personal experience with Liz, you know, where I fully wholeheartedly believe that the person that she talked to was somebody that was connected to me at some point. How do they present themselves to you? Because you don't necessarily, they're not standing in front of you, say, physically, right? They're more like in your mind.
It's in my mind's eye is what I jokingly call it. I'm very connected to my own body and my own brain. So like, I don't know how to explain it. Just I really like know things about my body. So if something's awry, immediately I know what it is, that kind of thing. So for the first experience, it started on a dream. And then when I'd woken up a couple hours after I'd finally got functional, in the right back, if that makes any sense, portion of my brain, base of my skull, that kind of thing. It's almost like a little black room, if that makes sense. But each spirit will come with different, like, amenities, if you will. So, like, they'll bring a chair if they want one, or they'll come and, like, they'll show different scenery, things like that. So I know it sounds crazy, but each and every individual one of them is different. So, like, for example, the first ever encounter I had, she brought a chair with her. Come to find out, it was one of her most prized possession antique chairs. I would have never known that. I had no clue she had a thing for chairs. It was a chair fetish, what have you. And then a gentleman I had pop into my head, he decided he was going to come in complete blackness. But it was him and another person. And they were standing, like, next to each other parallel. And there was a kind of like a glowing, maybe not glowing, maybe neon would be the right word, string attaching them both at the chest. So I had to figure out what the hell this was going on. Like, what is going on? So come to find out, it was the same exact person showing me what he looked like before he had passed, and then showing me the better version of himself that he wanted me to see. So spirit does some really weird shit, in all honesty, and I'm still personally trying to figure it out, because they'll show you, a lot of the time they'll show me images, or like, I call it a movie reel of what they've experienced through their life or what they're trying to convey to me and things like that. Or they'll do specific colors, or I'll get a smell sometimes. So like, for example, there was a gentleman that came to me that had a specific smell, and I guess only his family or him would know what it is, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So. And I don't mean to self-psychoanalyze you, you know, here on the episode, but
you're good.
It's obviously clear that you're still coming to terms with it, because yeah. I don't know if you noticed, every time that you bring it up, you kind of have to throw in this disclaimer. I know this sounds crazy.
A lot of people, like, that I've talked to about it, for example, like my fiance, when I first started doing this, she was like, are you good? Like, do I need to take you somewhere? Do I need to call somebody? Do you want some medication? Like, that kind of thing. And not many people take it for what it is, because a lot of the time, within my practice at least, I get a lot of skeptics, which is totally fine. I'm a skeptic to a bunch of shit. I'm basically a hypocrite, if you will. But a lot of people are just like, it doesn't fucking work. It's not a real thing, yada, yada, yada. So I'm always the first one to jump out there and be like, I get it if you don't believe. I know I sound like a nutball, but hear me out. And a lot of the time it does go over well. There are some people who obviously are just like, you're a fucking crazy person. Like, just shut up. Don't talk to me. Don't talk about it. But
block.
Basically, block. So.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I mean, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, I mean, I kid around, but I'm sure that that must be, you know, a little bit discombobulating for you too.
It is, but it isn't, because I'm one of those people that I think it's great, and I love to fuck with skeptics when it comes to my, I guess, spiritual ability, because spirit will fuck with them as well. So, for example, there was one gentleman that I was speaking with, and his ancestor had come to me and was like, watch this, we're going to get him. And I was like, oh God, what are we doing? What are we doing? And spirit was like, all right, you're going to tell him XYZ that happened. And it's the only thing, like, that I would know that he would also know. So I was like, all right, give me a minute. So I had to formulate it into words, because the spirit wouldn't speak, if that makes sense. It was more along the lines of flailing of arms, and I would just understand what was going on. It was more like sign language, I guess. So I communicated what that spirit wanted to the gentleman, and the dude was just like, hold up, I think I'm gonna get sick. And that's when it was kind of like a aha moment, like, I got you, what you gonna do about it now? Like, it's not fake. But at the same time, it's more along the lines of too, like, I'm cool if you don't believe, because I didn't believe, so I can't sit there and tell you you're a dumbass or you're this or you're that because you don't believe, because I was once in their situation.
But you know, I really appreciate the fact that you are talking about skepticism, because you know, a lot of times in our practice, we always use the words like, you know, you have to have the belief, you have to believe in yourself, you have to believe in your magic, you have to believe in what you're doing. But I think skepticism is a really good logical approach. And I am a logical person, because I feel that if you can go through the steps of being skeptical about something, and you can rule out the mundane, and you can rule out the obvious explanations, then it only solidifies your experiences and what you're doing. So, you know, I don't think that skepticism is anything to be ashamed of or anything to be scared of. I think my personal opinion is we should all approach things with a little bit of skepticism at first, because I feel like when we don't, then we become like sheep and we're just blindly following and blindly doing and saying and seeing just because everybody else is.
Yeah. Right. And I've said that a few times on a few different episodes. I don't do things just on belief. Mm-hmm. I can't, like, that's just not how my brain works. I have to, like, it's either true or it's not in my mind.
That's exactly how I work too, personally. If I don't believe it, it's not going to happen. But unfortunately, in my own case, that kind of role reversed and hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, hey, you're going to believe now, bitch.
Yeah.
But I think that works obviously different for everybody. You know, right. Some of us, like for you and Hestia, you know, it's going to take a lot of work on you guys' part, not work necessarily, but, you know, research and stuff, because you want to validate what you're actually doing, seeing, you know, believing. You're not just going to blindly follow it.
And see, I was fortunate enough that the few times that I was seeing things that I could have questioned my sanity or if it was reality or not, fortunately, I was never alone in those situations. And I always had somebody there to be like, yeah, I saw that shit too. So I was really fortunate that I never had to question the things that I saw. I'm going to have my sister on here one day on this topic, because this is something that happened when we were kids. We used to share a bedroom when we were really young, and we lived in the house that her grandfather died in. And one night we were asleep, and for no reason, because we always slept through the night, like, no problem. We were not that small. We were probably 6 and 8, somewhere around there. Like, we slept through the night. And all of a sudden, we woke up at the exact same time in the middle of the night and just happened to look out the door. Like, we didn't say shit to each other. We just looked up and we saw somebody walk by, and we thought we knew who it was. So we addressed to that person, and they came walking from the other end of the hallway from where we just saw them go. And we were like, oh, hell no. Because we were kids, you know? So we were like, fuck this. Like, we're sleeping with mom tonight. Move. But yeah, so we didn't talk about it for years. And then one day we were at her grandmother's house and we were going through a photo album, and my sister started freaking out. And she was like, come here, come here. And I was like, what? And she was like, look. And I freaked out too, because it was the same person. My grandma's like, you didn't see him. Or I call her my grandma too, but it was my sister's grandmother. She was like, you didn't see him. He's been dead since before either of you were born. And we were like, no, you're wrong. We for sure did. And she was just like, oh. But it's really funny, because my sister, like, she talks to spirits all the time. Like, she can see them and she can talk to them. Like, she can see them in front of her. And she's been like that pretty much our whole life. I used to, but I actively close it out. I don't want to. Not my thing. That didn't sit right with me. Like, I like to sleep at night. I like to be unbothered. I don't like anybody in my house. Can you please leave me the fuck alone? So anytime I feel like I'm about to, I just be like, no, do not do it. And it goes away.
There's something that happened to me last night. Hestia and Mountain Gypsy know about this. Well, let me tell you first what happened, because you're probably like, what the fuck is she talking about? So I woke up probably like 3:45 morning. And my heart was racing, and I felt like I was having a panic attack, to be honest with you. Or actually, retrospectively, it really does seem more to me like a panic attack. And I don't have panic attacks, but I'm a nurse, and I know what a panic attack is described at, and it was like a classic panic attack. And my heart was racing, and, you know, I felt like things were closing in. I didn't know if I was going to pass out. So I called the paramedics, and yeah, I had the ambulance here and everything, and they did my EKG and everything. And obviously I'm fine. I'm here today. I'm not in the hospital. And, you know, there's a couple different things, you know, that I thought in my head of what it could have been, you know, bad food, channeling Hestia, Hestia channeling me, because apparently she had something almost identical happen right around the same time, which is a whole nother discussion and a whole nother episode on our fucking charmed connection that we have on medical shit. But anyways.
Dude, it does keep getting worse, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But we'll get back to that in a second. But one of the things, though, that I started thinking about was if I had a spirit in my room, because after the ambulance left, I was exhausted, okay? I already went to bed late as it was, so I was already just on like an hour and a half of sleep, and I was exhausted. My heart rate was fine. My EKG was freaking gorgeous, by the way. You guys got to see the picture. I mean, it was like textbook, but anyways, I'm geeking out on you. But everything was totally fine. And so I went back to the room to try to go to sleep, and I started feeling that panic mode again. And I was like, I can't stay in here. And so I went to the couch. I had to sleep on the couch. And in my head, I was wondering, like, you know, what the fuck? You know, why is it just in my room that I feel this way? And I had to wait a couple of hours before I felt like it was quote unquote okay to go back to the room. And then I went back to the room and I went to sleep and I slept for hours.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, when spirit comes to me right beforehand, I'll get like, I guess, a really bad chill that goes from basically my entire spine all the way down to the tip of my toes. And instantaneously, I feel like I'm going to puke. And it's so intense that it's like, oh God, am I going to die? Like, it literally feels like I'm almost going to die because like my breath comes out of me. I just instant panic, but it's not panic, if that makes sense. But the second it comes, it goes right away, almost instantaneously. It's like a blip in time.
You know, that's funny.
All of a sudden, it happens.
What I experience is so similar, but like, it doesn't feel like I lose my breath. It feels like I hold it.
Yeah, that kind of situation.
And I get like a chill, and it's almost like everything just gets dead ass silent. Like there's no sound.
Exactly what I deal with, and it's. I wouldn't say it's debilitating, because if it were to happen more, then it would be debilitating. But I already have a lot of issues.
It's like half a second.
Right. It's only for, I don't even know, probably by the time I blink my eye, it's over. Or eyes. I only have two eyes, obviously, not one.
Yeah.
But it comes so quickly, but the second it goes away, that's kind of how you know, like, some shit's about to hit the fan. And not even 30 seconds after that feeling goes away, for me personally, somebody's chit-chatting in my head, like, hey, how you doing? How's the weather? It's like, okay. Nice warning. Okay. I felt like I was going to die. You couldn't have done it any nicer.
And that's when I say, no, don't you dare. Like, dude, no. Do not.
Well, nobody started talking to me when that happened, but I can tell you that I was very embarrassed because after I made the call, I made the call from my room. Everything happened in the room, and then I went to go open the door and sat on the couch, and I felt fine, and I started feeling embarrassed. Like, I'm fine now, But for some reason, it's like I didn't want to go back in my room. My animals were in there. They were fine, although I have to admit that my dog was acting a little weird. But for the most part, they were fine, because I don't want to read too much into it. But, you know, I waited for them. Everything happened in my living room. We left, and like I said, you know, went back to the room, felt really weird, and left the room. And everything was fine when I left the room. So. I don't know. I really don't know. You know, I'm also not exactly the healthiest person in the world. Certainly could have just been pure physiological. I certainly, you know, am open to that as well. Plus I'm a nurse, you know, those are the first things that I'm going to think of every single time. But I have to be honest, that has been in the back of my mind since this morning, since all of this has happened. Because it was just really odd.
It does make me wonder, because I too, like you, I'm the last person to attribute any kind of physical health symptom to any kind of spirit, magic related anything, because I have a lot of health issues. So for example, like, if I break my toe, it's obviously not a fucking curse. I'm just a dumb clumsy ass and broke my toe. So
I know you had discussed kind of getting more in touch with your emotions and kind of cutting back on your psych meds. Yeah. You think maybe that just maybe opened you up to something that you wouldn't have felt before because it was blocked out?
I don't discount that, Hestia, what you're saying. I don't know. You know, all this talk about skepticism, you know, I am just like you guys, you know, I'm a pretty hardcore skeptic. You know, I question and really try to rule out every fucking thing beforehand. And part of that also is just my training. Like I said, despite what I was feeling, I wasn't even going to assume, you know, I was just going to get the paramedics out there, just make sure I'm not dying, and then we'll rule out everything else.
It honestly makes me wonder, too, if anything, the encounter between you and I had possibly opened you up to anything, because you seemed, I wouldn't say open to receiving, but you weren't going to turn me away. You weren't going to be like, ew, get the fuck away from me, whatever. It makes me wonder if it was that same individual, too. Come to think
of it. Well, if it is, then I have some words with him, because I'm like...
I mean, enjoy. I've gotten rid of that ass. Told him not, nope, no more.
So, let's talk about some of the people, you know, that you've come across. You know, we can talk about him or talk about, you know, anybody that you think is interesting, like the one that still sticks with you.
So I have a gentleman that I wouldn't say worship or venerate, more along the lines of like work with. So ironically enough, I have a really close friend within the Aminos, and I didn't know her past life, like any of her personal history, things like that. I just knew she had kids and had this, that, and the other going on. But her uncle ended up coming to me, and I couldn't figure out for the life of me who this individual was, because I've never met him, obviously, and he lives in a whole ass different state. But he just popped up one day, and after that, he explained to me why I get spirits and spirit messages. He said, and I quote, "You have a neon blinking sign over your head, over top of your head." Basically like inviting spirits in, if that makes sense. And I asked him why, and he's like, "Honestly, I couldn't tell you." But I was just like, "Dude, thanks." Like, but he hangs around quite a lot. He sticks around, chills out. A lot of the time on the podcast, he's very show outy. Any kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like audience, if you will. If I ever have an audience, he's very, very talkative. Tell them this, tell them that. Oh, I'm here. Make sure they know I'm here. I'm just like, no, because not everybody understands that. Not everybody's going to believe me. And I'm sure the person that you are related to doesn't want me to out all of their business and the fact that you're just chilling here with me all the time. Right. But he likes to pop by quite often. He jokingly calls me something. I forget what it is. It's a different term. I don't think it's English, but he doesn't speak a different language, but he has a speech impediment. So it's kind of hard to understand him sometimes. I mean, he comes to me quite a lot. And then I had your family member come to me. And for everybody who's listening that doesn't know any of us from like Adam and Eve, I don't know Bella that well. I mean, we're friends, of course. Like, I wouldn't say we're super close. I wouldn't say we like go to the Chinese buffet together, that kind of thing. But I don't know her personal history. I don't know her family life. I don't know any of that.
By the way, you know, the first time that we meet in person, we're going to a Chinese buffet.
We have to. Absolutely have to. I don't give a fuck if it's not gluten-free and I'll get sick everywhere. It's cool. We're just going to enjoy it. So I had that individual come to me, and can I put BMC's business out there?
Yeah, you can.
So her and I text quite often, and one evening we were texting back and forth, and I had an older individual, a gentleman, come to me, and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? He didn't speak any English whatsoever, and he, I guess, would try to speak, if that makes sense, but I couldn't understand anything he was saying. And I speak a couple different languages, but whatever language he was speaking was just, yeah, wasn't happening. But the way he would communicate with me was kind of like flail his arms and then throw symbols out. And I'm like, what the fuck, sir? Like, are you okay? But one of the symbols he ended up throwing out was, I think I told you Czechoslovakian. I may be wrong. I would have to go back through our text messages. But he threw out a symbol, and I was able somehow to remember it and write it down, because I have the brain of like a walnut. I can't remember shit. But this symbol, I forget what it means. I think it means like live or life, or it was like a conglomeration of a word. I don't know. I'd have to go back, look in my spirit book. But he came and popped up. So I was just like, oh, okay. And mind you, I don't know BMC that well. I mean, we're close friends too, but I don't know her personal life. I don't know all of her ancestral history. So it's kind of just random that a lot of people that I personally don't know come to me. Like, for example, I had my neighbor's deceased mother come to me. I've had the uncle. I've had a bunch of different people. The only person that ever was related to me came was my grandmother, and she was here for a blip of a second in time.
I think what I appreciate about you, one of the things I appreciate about you in regards to all of this, is that despite your skepticism, despite the fact that you think you don't believe in, you still put yourself out there and reach out to people and say, hey, does this mean anything to anybody? You know? And to me, you know, that is your way of going through the checklist, so to speak. Like, let me make sure that this is really happening before I go check myself in somewhere. Clearly, whatever is happening, it does relate to people that you are connected with on some level. You're not just,
for the most part.
it's not like a scene from Ghost, you know, where
right.
a random ghost is jumping into you looking for somebody.
Thank God. The only random one that I've had that might actually blow like yours and the viewer's mind. There was a gentleman, I think you guys may have seen it or heard me mention that I had posted in a couple different immuno communities, like, hey, does any of this relate to you? Oh my God, yawn. but nobody ended up responding. And I was just like, oh shit. So now how am I supposed to figure out who this dude is? Well, he came to me in a dream one night. Can't remember how many months ago it was, but I figured out who it was. Come to find out, he was an elderly gentleman that lives in my state that had passed away in the woods from, I guess, freezing below temperatures. He had dementia or Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the only way I found that out was by having to research, because he kept telling me, you'll know who I am. You'll know who I am. But he didn't speak because he was actually rendered mute due to the dementia.
That's,
wow.
It was insane. Because I started freaking out. I was like, what do you mean I'm going to know you? Like, are you some prolific guy? Like, are you famous? Like, I don't understand.
Elvis.
Right. My first instinct was like Ted Bundy or something. I was like, you've got to be shitting me. Please. Like, no, I cannot handle that today. But after, I think he woke me up probably around 2:30. I was up from 2:30 the rest of the day on researching about this guy. And y'all know that I go to bed with the chickens at like 7:30. So me being up at 2:30, it's not cute. It's not my thing. But the defining factor was he showed me the woods and there was snow on the ground. And I'm like, oh God, that could be a bajillion and one different states in the U.S. That could be Canada. That could be anywhere. How the fuck am I supposed to find like who you are? Can't you give me some name or something? But obviously he was mute. Unfortunately, he didn't talk. It was more along the lines of like visions and then flailing of arms. And I would just understand somehow, some way. Right. But after hours of research, I come to find out that he had passed away in the woods due to escaping, I guess. Probably not the right term. Getting lost out of a shopping center. And nobody can find him for like a week.
Wow.
But I don't know this dude. So he had a message for me to give to his two daughters. And I'm just like, I don't know them. And no offense, I'm sure they've had to deal with his death like pretty awfully. Because I personally wouldn't want to deal with that. That's got to be pretty rough on the family. But I don't think they would appreciate some random stranger reaching out and saying, hey, so your dad popped up and was just like, I need to let you know these things.
Wow. Did you ever try to reach out to them though?
I've searched for them, but I don't know their names only because they're two females and they are married off and they don't have the same last name as the gentleman. I've reached out to a couple people to see if they could possibly, I guess, nose around, if you will, and try to find them. But so far, nothing.
Well, maybe you need to dim that light a little bit. Dim that neon sign a little bit.
I wish I knew how, to be honest with you. I don't know how to make it stop. Unless, like, in the instance when somebody else came to me and I was just like, get the fuck out. Like, I'm not putting up with you. I let you say what you have to say. Get out. But
Put up another sign that say, only contact for people that I can actually talk to.
Right. Because I'm not, like, some miracle worker here. You know what I mean? So as much as I would love to be, like, this is interesting to me. I love helping people get like any kind of closure they can, because death for a lot of people isn't easy to process. Myself, I process it pretty simply. It is what it is. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. But other people who I'm sure struggle with it would probably like to have some sort of closure. And if I'm able to provide that, that would be great. But if I was on the opposite end of receiving that, if some random ass stranger contacted me and was like, hey, your whatever relative who's deceased had this to say, I'd be like, what the fuck is your problem? Like, get away from me.
Yeah, like, I'm not giving you any money.
Right. And of course, I never charge for any of these things either. Everybody's like, you should so charge. And I'm like, yeah, no, I can't. Spirit won't let me charge at all. They will not let me. I would never would anyway. But people are like, you could make a fucking bank doing this. That's great. I'd rather not. I feel like it would be dirty money, but.
But the way, especially going back to, you know, the dealings with what you and I did or talked about, I think that's a perfect example of what we were talking about earlier of how, you know, even with experiences such as yours, which are really more concrete, so to speak, it's still not like, you know, this apparition that's coming in front of you, because even what you were telling me, you know, is that he was in the same with BMC, the communication that you were getting were more like it with images and symbolism and stuff. And you had to try to interpret that and translate that. That's also something that I think some people kind of either misconceive and assume it's going to be something really overt, or try to read so much into it. I think that's why we see a lot of people, you know, thinking that every little thing is a sign or every little thing is, you know, somebody communicating with me. And it is a challenge, you know, trying to figure out, like, what is just a random occurrence? What is just a random fleeting thought versus what is actual communication? So I don't know if either of you two have any recommendations on how do you differentiate that, or Hestia or anybody.
I mean, me personally, mine is a lot different, I guess, because I experience things different. When spirit or something from the other side, if you will, comes to me, it's loud and clear. There's no knocking over of things or like whispering or door knock, none of that, unfortunately. It's more along the lines of there's the physical symptoms that come, and then there's this voice in the back of my head, and I'm just like, oh, hey, how you doing? How can I help you today? Like, we're open for business. But as for,
mine is very similar.
It's loud and clear. They come in like the Kool-Aid man through a door.
Yeah, the physical part is the most jarring part of it, though. Like, seeing, like, the only difference is I can actually see them, but when they talk, it's not like they're talking. I just hear it or just know it. I don't know. It's weird.
Right. I totally get you.
But like I said, it's not something that I have a lot of information on, because when I get that feeling, I will absolutely shut it down. How did you get comfortable with it, or did you? I mean,
me?
Yeah.
I guess I was forced to be honest, because when it first started happening, like the first occurrence, it was a dream at first, so I was totally cool with it. I've had weird ass dreams before, but shortly after, I'd gotten coffee, and I know coffee was a big thing to this individual. She really enjoyed coffee, so that makes sense why she manifested further after coffee. It was more like having a conversation in my head. So I talk to myself all the time, whether it's out loud, in my head, what have you. So I'm used to that. But having a different dialogue and a whole different voice in my head was extremely jarring. I was like, what the fuck is this? I honestly was ready to go to an emergency room or something. I thought I was definitely having a psychotic break. If it wasn't for her family kind of confirming a lot of what I said, I probably would have ended up in a mental ward. But after the first couple, I would say maybe 3 or 4 times, it gets easier for me as long as I set up boundaries. So I have a whole spiel that I do in my head when I speak to them. When they first pop up, I'm like, look, if you want to come back, that's totally cool. Like, I get it. But if I'm in the middle of something, like showering, taking a shit, what have you, you better fuck off. Not about that life. I like my privacy. most of them seem to respect the boundaries. But I've got,
I guess she only has a couple rules. No washing her in the bathroom, and Ted Bundy's only available on Tuesday.
You got it. But it's become more like, I wouldn't say having a best friend in my head, but having a friend in my head, because I jokingly say spirit knows all, because they do. Some people don't believe that. I personally do. But they know everything that's going on, ever. And it's kind of creepy, in my opinion. But it's literally having somebody just kind of chit chat in your head. It's no different than me sitting next to like my best friend and having a whole conversation with her. So it's,
for me, it's even weirder, because it's almost like nothing else is going on. Like, it would just be me and that person wherever they were at, if that makes sense. Sorry, that makes no sense, huh?
No, you're good. I got you. It took me a minute. I'm like space cadetting right now because I'm actually dealing with a visitor.
Like anything else that is physically going on around me, I'm completely oblivious to. I can't see it or hear it or even know that it's there.
Yeah, when spirit pops up in my head, it's like everything takes a backseat, in all honesty. So, like, I could be eating dinner, and the second it happens, I'm just like, well, spit the food out. Literally spit the food out on the plate because I can't even chew or focus. Immediately go get my spirit notebook, because I have a notebook dedicated to them, and start just writing everything down that I can. Because if I miss one little thing, that could throw everything off. Mm-hmm. Like right now, I'm actually doodling in a spirit notebook because I have a visitor. So I've got to make sure I get everything down, and then it's crazy. It's definitely almost, I guess, like having ADHD where you can't focus on one thing. You're kind of bouncing off the walls, if that makes sense.
Well, if you ever all of a sudden crave Diet Pepsi and Marvel 100, tell my grandma I said hi.
Sure, we'll do.
So, BMC, I know you mentioned you use the spirit board. Is that the main way that you do any communication, or like how do you know when you are having communications?
Okay, well, I've never seen a spirit before. I've never seen one. I've had a couple of really weird experiences where in the middle of the night I'd get a knock on my door or something crazy. I've heard my name being called out before. I've had whispers happen, but I've never actually like heard it in my mind. I think that that's like a gift that they have. I think that a lot of people don't have that. Like, we're not going to be able to see them. It's going to come very, very subtly when we are either not focused or whatever. But usually I use my spirit board. A lot of the times I will light the candles on my spirit altar and just sit there and say, you know, hey, if you want to come by. But usually it's like a feeling I get that someone else is there, you know, in the room. And that's what I call kind of discernment. So when anyone is trying to get into the craft, I tell them to kind of sit in the empty room and feel the energy there when no one's in there, when you know no one's there, and then try to invite someone in and feel that energy kind of shift. It's kind of like they're staring at the back of your head, and it's kind of like you get this feeling that someone's looking at you. And that's kind of how I know, okay, there might be a spirit here. But it's very like difficult for the average person to have these experiences because it doesn't happen a lot. And it's very hard for spirit to like communicate over into our world unless you have those gifts. So spirit board I like to use. I like to use my tarot cards. Pendulums I kind of do, but they're so like not faulty in a way, but I almost like don't believe it because I have really shaky hands, so I can't use it so much. But a lot of the times also I like to sit down and write and just doodle and kind of do like an automatic writing or just, you know, feel the space kind of. It's kind of all around. Oh, I did develop this new thing that I was going to kind of write about. I saw it on Ghost Adventures, so don't judge me. But so you grab some flour and you put it in front of the spirit altar. And flour is very, very, very light. And it's very like buoyant. And I'm thinking that if you put it there and you call a spirit, that it might be light enough for it to move. So I'm going to try to test it out and we'll see what happens. But chances are, like, you're not going to be able to see or hear spirit unless you have a crazy gift like they do. But yeah, to me, it's mostly just random stuff sometimes.
Use cake flour.
Cake flour.
Yes.
Okay.
It's lighter. It's just finer. If you're going for something really fine to try to get it to move a little easier, that would be your best bet.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That's something that like stuck with me and I was like, that could work. So
the first thing that comes to mind when you say that is I think of Paranormal Activity. So if you see hooves.
Yes.
And
I said I was gonna be the Kool-Aid man for 5 seconds and ask if a term means anything to anybody.
Yeah, okay.
Zawina? Z-O-W-I-N-A. The only thing I can find on Google, sorry, I've been like researching and things like that while we've been talking, is a term that looks to be Polish, possibly Russian. I'm leaning more towards either Polish, Czechoslovakian, or Russian. Currently, B-Z-O-W-I-N-A, and it means elder.
Wait, wait, okay, hold on. B-C-W-I-N-A?
B-Z, Z as in zebra, O-W-I-N-A. That's the only thing I can find that's related to what I've received.
It's an ancient ancestor of BMCs that's trying to tell you that your family didn't practice because
you did. You know, it does kind of sound European. And Jovina could be a Polish word, but then again, it could be like Serbian or it could be Slovenian, anything like that. All the Slavic languages are pretty similar, but it does have like the same type of feeling, you know? So after right. the podcast, I'm going to definitely do some more research on that because Liz, we think that Liz is communicating with one of my members of my family, specifically on my father's side.
What do you think, going back to the spirit board thing, what do you think about, you know, the reputation of the spirit board, well, the reputation that the spirit board has, you know, the Ouija board. Don't mess with the Ouija board. You're going to bring in, all, you know, like demons and shit, and you can get possessed.
I think it's a joke, honestly. Yeah. Like, all of the don't play a Ouija board by yourself or don't play with a Ouija board in general. Personally, I don't use them. I don't care for them. I've never had success with them ever. The only time something ever happened was when something supposedly, this was high school age, came through and told me the name of my most, not upcoming, I guess, upcoming boyfriend. Mind you, I'd never met this individual in my life. It was like 6 months later that we ended up getting together, but it was such a unique name and spelling. So it was kind of weird. But then again, I chalk it up to just stupid kids on drugs being stupid, basically. But in adulthood, I've messed around with one and tried to see what could happen and what have you, and absolutely not a fucking thing. So, I mean, it works for other people, sure. It's definitely not my method. I'm not knocking on anybody who does use one. Me and the Ouija board, spirit board, just do not get along at all. And it sucks because I would love to use one. I have one hanging on my wall currently. But he doesn't get any use.
Yeah, I personally love them.
I mean, if you want mine, I'd be happy to mail it to you. It's seen some shit, but
you're more than welcome to have. Do you have one, Hestia? Do you use it?
Not anymore. I do not. I used to use it a lot.
And BMC, do you use yours alone, or do you usually have somebody else?
I prefer to use it alone. I think that if another person is there, that it might interfere with what you're trying to get. So I prefer to use it alone. And as far as like misconceptions and things, I've made a couple of videos on the spirit board, and I've done so many blogs because I hate the misconceptions, honestly. It's good from like a Hollywood standpoint. It makes awesome movies. But to actually think that the spirit board is a welcome mat for spirits and demons and things like that, I hate this misconception. And I hate that people are like, you have to play alone. You have to have even number of people. You have to burn the board after you're done. All these crazy
things. Or don't burn the board.
Don't burn the board. Or you have to shatter the planchet or whatever. And it's like, oh my God, it's a tool, people. It's a tool just like the tarot cards. Okay?
I don't see it. Yeah, I see it as exactly the same as a pendulum board or anything else. It is just another tool.
Like, it's just a tool. And I think people have this misconception because it looks spooky and scary, of course. But then it's like any tool that you use, you are opening up that pathway for spirit to come in. But I do use my board a couple of times.
To be fair, you can do that without any tools.
Right, yes. Exactly. So I just think that, the misconceptions are really, really stupid. And I see it all over Aminos, of course. So every time there is a post, I got a comment because I can't let it sit there. I can't let it sit there. So I got a comment on it. And
by the way, You can't smoke until you're 18. You can't drink until you're 21. But according to Milton Bradley, you only have to be 8 to do the Ouija board. So anybody can do it. So Zozo has never come to visit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's another one.
Wait, what was that? What was that?
Okay, so it's a typically, okay, the board is obviously the alphabet, and the O and Z are on different sides of the board. So people have this notion that Zozo is a type of demon or spirit that comes through the board, but it's just your actual ideometer effect moving the actual pendulum through the back and forth motion. So it's funny because you see that all over Aminos that, oh, the spirit came to me, it's Zozo or whatever, and I comment on that like usual and like, nope, this is what's happening, but no, people will just, they won't quit it.
I put Zozo in the same category as Slenderman.
Yeah.
Where we know for a fact, you know, they started out as fiction, but because so many people believe, you know, it could be a result of a tulpa type occurrence.
That's true.
If you have that fear in the back of your head and you are expecting or thinking that something like that is going to come, well, maybe it will. Your fault.
I mean, I definitely don't discount its existence. However, I'm more along the lines with you, Bella, whereas it's like it originated as a creepypasta, if I remember correctly. And
yeah.
Me being a stupid ass, I just had to try to summon it because I'm a skeptic. I'm going to do something to prove everybody wrong. It's my personality. I can't help it. And nothing happened. Nothing creepy popped up in my house and was like, hey, bitch, I'm going to kill you. Nothing. So I was just like, okay. But then again, I believe if you believe it's something hard enough, and you're, I guess, feeding more fear into it, basically like a version of manifestation, it's going to fucking happen. Just like if you're petrified, you're going to throw up. The more you're scared of it, the more you're basically just going to make it happen, if that makes any sense.
I've heard people be concerned about using Ouija boards, spirit boards, of attracting like trickster spirits. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Trickster spirits are pretty rare, to me at least. I've never really... I mean, like I said, my spiritual encounters aren't really that vast, so could be real, but I think that just the amount of people that think that, oh, I'm getting tricked by a spirit, or they immediately think that when a spirit comes forth that it's going to trick them, you know, it might lead them to do that.
Yeah. So I don't work with demons, really, but I do love to study them for some reason. Very much love to study them. And everything that I know about them, as far as I'm concerned, first of all, I view demons as more of the true original sense of demons, not the Christian demon sense. But my personal opinion is that the vast majority of demons don't give a rat's ass to give us the time of day.
They're not going to waste their time on us, to be honest with you, unless like, I don't know, you're the reincarnation of Solomon or something, then maybe there's a chance, but...
Well, if you're the reincarnation of Solomon, and if I was a demon, I'd be like, I'm coming to get your ass for trapping me.
Fucking right.
Fucking vessel.
But I would say I don't believe in demons. I mean, I say I don't believe in a lot of shit, and I mean, look where I'm at now. But I've never had any encounters with them. They are fascinating to study, but I look to more of them as like a lore, only because they were mainly in my personal research found in a lot of like Catholicism and Christianity and things like that. And there's been a lot of people to supposedly prove that they were, I guess, made up to scare citizens, like a scare tactic kind of thing. But then again, there's other definitive proof supposedly that that wasn't a thing. So I'm somewhere kind of torn in the middle. Where
I believe in demons in the true sense. You know, I don't believe in demons in the Christian Bible Abrahamic sense.
Right.
I believe that they are ancient entities, you know, way far beyond. Like I said, you know, it becomes really hazy because, you know, we are beings of duality. We always think in things of black and white and right and wrong and good and evil. And my understanding of demons is they're so far developed beyond that. So, you know, for me, I don't really consider daemons, demons to be evil or good. Some of them are willing to help. Some of them could give a rat's ass. Some of them are just malicious and just don't like humans. And so if you try to call out to them, that they will fuck with you because they just don't like you. Us. I don't know. That's just my personal opinion. Like I said, I don't really work with them. I just, for some reason, I study them quite a bit. Not to say that I'll never work with them. I do feel, you know, quite a draw to Leviathan. But, you know, I've just never really felt the urge, the huge pull to really work with any of them. I have a real lot of respect for them. That's really where it goes.
I wonder how you'd feel then. I had a conversation with someone on the Aminos. It was a couple months ago, and they had randomly popped off and said to me that demons/daemons, I think I'm quoting this correctly, are a manifestation of our own misfortunes and despair, I think they said. And that's kind of sat with me for quite a long time because I'm a skeptic, obviously. But
well, I don't... Like I said, I still consider that interpretation to be more Abrahamic based.
Right.
Because when you look back historically, and when you look back at the literature, the original term daemon referred to entities that ancient cultures believed in that were not looked as evil or good. They literally were just looked at as higher beings. So the negative connotation that you described there to me is still an influence of Abrahamic religion.
Understandable. It just always sat with me, and I've always pondered it.
Well, I don't discount anything because, again, I do, even though Tulpa is a very, you know, specific Tibetan term, I do believe that there's a lot of merit in that. You said it earlier, you know, if there's enough belief in something, it can manifest whether we want to or not. You know, we have a lot more influence and power in energies than we care to admit. So I don't discount the fact that perhaps maybe some of them might be manifestations of that. But in general, that's not my personal opinion. But again, I use those words very carefully. That's personal opinion.
Right.
There's a lot of different opinions on that.
I don't have much of an opinion on it, to be honest, because I don't know too much about demons and daemons. I've kind of, I guess, slowed down in researching. Only, I'm going to get back to it, obviously, but some other things popped up that I was more interested in. But once I finally figure all of the stuff out, I'll let y'all know how I feel about it.
Okay, all right.
Because I'm still conflicted.
We'll get back to us in what, your next lifetime? By the time you have it out for
I mean, maybe. I have so much to research right now. It's like, I probably won't finish it all, honestly.
We have had other episodes in the past where, as we were editing, we have come across voices that clearly were not us.
Wow.
So basically, we got a couple good ones because of Bella's uncle. And then we got a couple because somebody was trying to make themselves known to me, and I was like, fuck you, get the fuck away from me.
They were having a shit fit because you weren't having it.
But that's when you were going to your grandfather's chair?
My father-in-law's?
Or your father-in-law?
Yeah.
Some dude?
Yeah.
They're both dudes. Is there a pattern here?
Those are the really interesting ones that I got. And then the one in the BMC episode of a female saying yes. Which I'm sure was your mother because we were speaking of your mother.
Damn, I am so sorry. I've been talking so much shit about you. I am really sorry.
She's probably like, yeah, bitch, I know.
She's like, yes, I know. That's why I'm making it known.
I hear you.
Okay, now I'm hearing get in here.
Get in here. Here. Get in here. Ew, in here, I don't like that.
There.
No.
Yeah, because see, this one specifically came from the room Hestia was in.
And what are the situations around this?
That's when, didn't she say that's when you guys were talking about that partition in your room?
This, yeah. I hear, yes, I am.
I'm hearing, I am, yes. Not yes, I am, but.
Same premise. We ain't gonna talk about your partition no more.
Yeah, let's not. Although I fucking smoked that shit out.
Yeah. Her room probably looked like a fucking forest fire. Get the fuck out.
That's what I was saying as I was doing it too. Get out. Just go. Just leave.
Like, we are not dealing with this. Like,
we're done here.
We done. Move on.
You are not the boss here. Get the fuck out. You don't pay not near none of these bills. Get out.
So that's not me.
I think it is.
It sounds like you.
Yeah.
I'll stand over there.
Okay. I don't know if that was you or not.
What?
That might have just been you.
Yeah, that was me saying okay.
Okay.
But I was like sighing. I was like, okay.
Okay. So then never mind. Because it sounded really, really weird the way that came across. Okay, then never mind.
Yeah, because when I heard it, I had to play it like a billion times. Like, oh, that's this bitch. It's this bitch being all creepy.
Yeah, and then the other one is
being all creepy. Fucking.
So we are going to, we're getting close to wrapping things up here. Is there anything else that anybody else wants to add or advice to anybody listening?
If I contact y'all with some sideways shit, you better answer.
I just want people to remember that you can set boundaries with this. So if it's something that you are encountering and you don't like it, you have to learn how to set those boundaries. Because I think a lot of people that I see talking about it on social media and stuff, they make it sound like it's this wonderful thing. And to be fair, it is, you know, like CMC said, this isn't something that happens to everybody. But sometimes it happens to you and you don't want it to. And I think that's a whole demographic of people that are kind of left out of these videos because they kind of want to know what to do on the opposite spectrum. Like, okay, you want to embrace it, but I don't like this shit. What do I do? Learn to set boundaries. You don't have to embrace it if you don't want to.
Because we do have that ability, contrary to, I think, what some people think, we can set boundaries. Again, we have a lot more control and ability within ourselves than people care to give themselves credit for. Anything you have to say, Ms. BMC?
I would just have to say, if beginners want to get into necromancy, do your research and really find your own way to commune with spirit. Because a lot of the times, a lot of the methods displayed will not work for everyone. So just find kind of your own rhythm and find your own way to do it. And start with ancestral spirits, because they're with you all the time. And it's really kind of a good beginner's footing into spirit work.
I love that. I totally agree. And by the way, you said do your research. Shameless plug. Do your research. If you want this shirt, it's available in our shop. We'll put the link down below. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for joining us.
And of course.
We will put the link to BMC's channel in the description and the link to Miss Liz's shop. That is also featured on Black Moon Coven's channel.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Don't forget to like, subscribe, all of the wonderful things. Listen to our podcast. And If you have the means to, please support us on Patreon. Anything else you want to say, Ms. Hestia, before we say goodbye?
Nope.
All right. Well then.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Don't forget to check out our website at www.bitchywitchies.com, and that's Bitchy Witchies spelled BitchyWitchies.com.
Hey guys, don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms. Go to Facebook.com/BitchyWitchiesPodcast, and don't forget, the I is the number one in bitches. And head to Instagram for Instagram.com/officialBW podcast to keep up to date on every new episode on our YouTube and on Anchor.
Check the description. All of our links will be available in our description for you to access easily.
Don't forget to check out our website at www.bitchywitchies.com, and that's Bitchy Witchies spelled BitchyWitchies.com.
Hey guys, don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms. Go to Facebook.com/BitchyWitchiesPodcast. And don't forget, the I is the number one in bitches. And head to Instagram for Instagram.com/officialBW podcast to keep up to date on every new episode on our YouTube and on Anchor.
Check the description. All of our links will be available in our description for you to access easily.